This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. We thank you so much for listening on this Friday. And another major march appears headed for Washington, D.C. Hundreds of thousands of people are expected in the Capitol this weekend in the first ever March for Science. The march is set for Saturday. That's also Earth Day. And it's linked to scheduled marches in other cities across the country and around the world.
Hi, my name is Liz Bradley.
This is Annika Danes.
I'm Lana.
I will be attending the March for Science.
My daughter Teresa and I will be marching while I'm visiting her in St. Louis, Missouri.
I will be marching in Eugene, Oregon, rain or shine.
I'm going to be marching for science in Jacksonville, Florida, because the great thing about science is that it's true and very real, whether or not you believe in it.
Organizers and the marchers that you hear there on our takeaway line say their goal is to present a united front in support of scientific research and evidence-based policymaking. It's a fact-based worldview many people feel is under attack in the current political climate and under the new administration of President Donald Trump. Science celebrities will be on hand to increase the media attention, of course. People like Bill Nye and Christiana Figueres. She's one of the architects of the Paris Climate Accords. But the event has also drawn some criticism from within the scientific community itself. Some scientists feel that the march only further politicizes a field that shouldn't be political at all. Ira Flatow is host of Public Radio International Science Friday. He's the legendary host of that show. He's in D.C. for the march, and he joins me now. Welcome back, Ira.
Thank you very much.
Ira, this March for Science really started with grassroots activism online. There were rumblings of this as much as 2 or 3 months ago, right after the success of the Women's March after the inauguration.
Yeah, I remember when we did a show on Science Friday months ago, and we had one of the organizers on, and she was as surprised, I think, as anyone else about the tremendous interest shown by the public. You know, people, as your little Vox Pop showed there, that there are average people who are coming to this march. They're not just scientists who are coming here. And even though it may have started out looking like it was just organized by scientists, there are going to be thousands and thousands of quote, average people coming to the march.
So this is kind of perfect for us, Ira. I mean, you're the radio science talk show host. I'm the political reporter. I used to be a science reporter myself. and this is great because this is the clash between politics and science in so many ways. They've always been in tension. Politicians exploit and distort science all the time to meet their needs. So what's different now that people are pouring into the streets?
Well, I think, you know, to quote an old movie, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. I think is the attitude of scientists and people. They've watched science come under attack. I mean, most recently, we talk about the Trump administration and things about cutting money for the EPA and the NIH. But, I mean, in one jaw-dropping statement in Congress a couple of weeks ago when the head of the committee, the committee that funds science, says he doesn't believe in the research that comes out of Science Magazine, which is the most trusted American magazine for science credibility. He doesn't believe the credibility of that research. That brings science to a whole new level. The debate is not just with the White House now. The debate is about funding and funding priorities for science in Congress, which gives the government most of its money to do the science. So it's much broader than that now.
So a couple of different levels then. Certainly there's the politics of NIH funding, CDC, you name it. There are agencies across the government that are popular that fund research. There's also, it seems to me, the generalized questioning of a fact-based worldview. We mentioned it in the intro. You mentioned some of the politicians that say Science Magazine is fake news. I guess I'm paraphrasing. It seems like this clash is happening on more levels than it used to.
It is, but, you know, it used to clash. I mean, you can go back to science and politics, back to Galileo and the church. You can move it up to closer to Einstein warning President Roosevelt about the Nazis and the bomb. You can move it to Rachel Carson, a biologist doing Silent Spring. You can move it to Barry Commoner and Paul Ehrlich and Carl Sagan warning about the environment in the late 60s, the threat of a nuclear winter in the 70s. So there has always been a tension between science and politics. But what is different now is that, like Social Security, the funding of science has always historically been taken for granted. That's, you know, we need to fund research. That's where jobs are created, by the science that we create. We create science. We do science. We create technology. Technology leads to jobs. That was usually a given. You didn't have to go and argue for the funding of science. Now, within the political atmosphere we have in Congress and the White House and budget cutting, people have to say, are you kidding? You have to be convinced why we need science. And it also may lead to the disconnect that led to Donald Trump's victories, that scientists themselves and may need to connect more with the public and get out and show them on a local level why science is important.
And many of them, Ira, as you know, don't like getting up off the bench to address the public, but a lot of them don't like being involved in politics at all. There is some criticism, as you know, from within the community saying this isn't our place. We're totally data driven. No politics. Is that an option these days?
Well, that's always been the criticism coming from other scientists. But I think now scientists have realized this. And on the local level, they are now getting more out into the communities and reacting, I think, in Michigan, other states, creating more town meetings, going into schools, showing up and showing that scientists are real people. They're just like you. I used to make a mistake of separating scientists and people, but they are people. And I think this march shows people who are going to see it on television or anywhere else that these are real people out there on the streets just like they are.
Ira Flatow and his staff from Science Friday will be out in the streets in Washington, D.C. with their microphones on Saturday for the first ever March for Science, one of a long string of protests that have hit Washington, D.C. this winter and spring. I can tell you that. Ira Flatow, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.